that we will see the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You might as well go ahead and play a couple more chords. Let's. Hallelujah. Confidence in this. Cried many tears. Now we'll see the goodness of the Lord. Amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Turn your mics off. Y'all good? Amen. Turn my echo off in the back. Amen, amen. We'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. Y'all pray for me as I cough a little bit here and there. I'm still getting over a teeny bit of a cold, but I believe God is going to say what he needs to say anyway. Amen. I don't want to belabor the time because we've had to celebrate today, but I think we're good and ready to move forward. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of Nehemiah, Lord have mercy, chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 12 through 18, and it's in the Message translation. I'm going to put it down where the goats can get it. Verse 12, it says, I got up in the middle of the night, I and a few men who were with me. I hadn't told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem, Divine Truth. The only animal with us was the one that I was riding. Under the cover of night, I went past the valley gate toward the dragon's fountain to the dung gate, looking over the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken through and whose gates had been burnt up. I then crossed the fountain gate and headed for the king's pool, but there wasn't enough room for the donkey I was riding to get through. Lord have mercy. So I went up the valley in the dark, continuing my inspection of the wall. I came back in through the valley gate. The local officials had no idea where I had gone or what I was doing. I hadn't breathed a word to the Jews, priests, nobles, local officials, or anyone in Altamont or Castleberry who would be working on the job. That I gave them my report. Face it, we're in a bad way here. Jerusalem, the city is a wreck. Its gates are burned up. Come, let's build the wall of Jerusalem and not live with this disgrace any longer. I told them how God was supporting me and how the king was backing me up. You could put mayor right there. They said, watch this. We're with you. Let's get started. They rolled up their sleeves, ready for the good work. And the title of this morning's message is, It's Time for a Building Inspection. Lord, have mercy. It's time for a building inspection. Thank you, my brother. In the spring of 446 BC, 11 years after Ezra, you know, that man who found the scriptures in the rubbish, completed the second temple. There was a man of stature, one of grace, called Nehemiah, a Persian cupbearer. Cupbearer is not, you know, just somebody who carries around a cup. This is what you would call a designated official, a governor of Judah, who was charged with inspecting Jerusalem's physical temple stability, as well as the progress of a remnant of people who still have fresh memories of being in Babylonian captivity. They just got out, y'all. And as a son, talk about Nehemiah here, of the Judaic diaspora, Nehemiah had a personal investment. He had interests that were intimately tied to the success of Jerusalem as a city and temple whose presence represented the post-exilic, that means used to be exiled but no longer exiled, hopes of a broken nation being restored to what God intended. To, number one, be their God, and for them to exclusively be his people. In other words, God's original intent, even in this modern time, is for us to realize that God is our God and that we are his people and that there is no room to be on both sides of the fence.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. You could do whatever you want to do behind closed doors. You could try to sin and get blessed anyway and anyhow, but since you know better, and if you're up under this teaching, there is a certain standard that God wants you to have in your life that can only be realized through faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. So if I were to sum up the man called Nehemiah, he would be described as the one comforted by Jehovah. That's what his name means. Or a steward of precious cargo, a carrier of the vision. See, he didn't start the temple. He's carrying on another person's work. It's going to make sense in just a moment. So his review of Jerusalem is not without merit. He had to be there during the spring to address a pressing issue that was spreading like wildfire. You could see in Jerusalem, after all of these slaves, remember Jeremiah once said, hey, I remember the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, thoughts of good and not evil, that you could come to your expected end. And he said that as the people of Israel, the children of Israel, were walking in chains into Babylonian captivity because of their rebellion, their stupidity, their desire to do what they wanted to do while they were holding the title of being God's people. Sometimes we walk ourselves into bondage. Lord have mercy. Yeah. Sometimes we walk ourselves into bondage. And as I was giving the illustration a little while ago, you can imagine a glass plate and Nehemiah's on one side with the phone and the children of Israel on the other side, and he's giving them that commentary as they go back into cell block D. And they're the ones who walk themselves into that prison. So Nehemiah has all of these people after 70 years of captivity. Ezra said that he's going to rebuild the second temple after the first one was torn down. And there's a little bit of unrest in this particular city. So Nehemiah in the spring is going 11 years after Ezra built up the wall to inspect to see what's going on with this infrastructure. To see what's going on not only with the infrastructure, but the people who are building it. God is coming by to inspect what's going on in our physical building, yes, but he's also trying to find out what's going on with the people inside of this building. What's going on with y'all?
Yeah.
What is your mindset set up? I remember I spent several years trying to prove to people that I was a good pastor, and that time has passed. If you can't see for yourself the goodness of the Lord, then there's nothing I could do for you. You could just go to the 400 prophetic conferences where nothing will happen once again. I don't think the preachers give rebates for false prophecy. So Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. I had 3 weeks off. It was in my belly. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 through 4 says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakilah. Now it happened in the month of Chislev. This is the backstory. I'm giving you the backstory. In the 20th year, while I was in Shushan in the King James Version, the capital. This is in Persia. That Hananiah, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the 70 years of Babylonian captivity and about Jerusalem. So Nehemiah was in Persia. He had his place. He had his corner office with glass walls and glass tables and a nice little concierge. He was comfortable in the enemy's house. And so God put it on this particular young man's heart to find out what was going on in the distance. And so these brothers came up to tell them what was happening. And verse 3, it goes on like this. It says in verse 3, they said to me, the remnant there in the province, far away from here, who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burning with fire. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven as far as what to do with this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. I heard that song over and over again. But we can't build this city on rock, and we have to build it on fasting and prayer and action. So Nehemiah was looking at Jerusalem and saying, what is going on with all these burning gates and things are cracking and breaking all over the place? What can we do this city? Isaiah spoke about it even before Ezra said, we want to build the waste places, the desolate places. And so God planted us in Castleberry, Florida, that just so happened to be right next to a community that saw a mega church being brought down to its knees. And a whole apartment complex being put in its same place. The city is without any true leadership until we got planted here. I saw that there was something that was wrong. And matter of fact, I saw this place over 12 or 13 years ago when we originally came to the city. I saw this place a long time ago. And God led me back to this place that I saw back in the early 2000s, to the same place. And we couldn't even afford it. But God planted us here. And look at us now. Where the mayor has given us favor. I'm doing ballroom dancing with the mayor. A chaplain with the Castleberry Police Department. We have young and educated people, millennials and baby boomers. And all of us are all together. No matter what side of the spectrum, they're all synergizing together. And I believe we can do even better than that, because some of y'all have not reached your full capacity yet. No, not at all. Some of y'all have been just riding along, just coming to church only and nothing more, because you got too much going on. I could give a flip about how much you got going on. What about putting God first? Maybe if you put God first, then he can open up some doors and you won't have to work 15 jobs. Well, so the scripture says, in summary, that Jerusalem was a city that had broken walls. And a city with broken walls reveals a defeated people. There are many people here that are defeated. When we were having our toy drive and our toy giveaway, there was people that were just walking in and out. And they were just looking up and looking around. And people asking the same question, how long y'all been here? And I said, we've been here for about 3 years. And it says, that's wonderful. And then in my mind, I was like, well, how long have you been here? And now that you see what God is doing, why not come aboard? You see, when you get used to nothing happening, when God moves, it seems foreign to you. It seems strange. It doesn't make any sense. What do you mean this got going? What do you get? And all of these things start. We get mail all over the place. And I say, keep on watching. Keep on looking. If God got to bring a congregation full of Chinese people inside of this place in order to worship God because you're sitting in your place, then he will do just that. He will get the work of the Lord done. But I understand that we're surrounded by a number of defeated people. Because the church has let them down. The church that does not move with socioeconomic empowerment. One that is not moving with power and anointing. We understand that. That was once the case. But no longer. Yes. Nehemiah thought the same way. So Nehemiah was not the one who birthed the vision. He was not the one who birthed the vision. Do you realize that when God gives you a vision, it's what he intended and you're just a conduit?
Yes.
That's it. I couldn't think of all of this stuff up. Not at all. God gave it to me. And so I was a carrier of the vision. Just like Nehemiah is the carrier of the vision. A carrier of the vision. He was responsible for carrying it and seeing it to its completion. Ezra, his predecessor, and prior to that, Jeremiah encouraged and spoke truth to power throughout the whole land of Israel to the people, the children of Israel, so that they could stay unified under God, to obey his word, and to rebuild the waste and ruined places of the city. I want our church to buy land before the city gets to it. I ain't going to tell you where, because there are spies everywhere. I've been watching the Game of Thrones, y'all.
Come on.
I didn't even know that y'all had the anointing and y'all were hiding it from me, but I found out I binge watched in that 7-day period before the trial expired. And I saw all of it. Amen. And my favorite part was the Battle of the Bastards. Lord have mercy. That was awesome. In that particular battle, the man had a vision for his whole province. And he had all of the walls and people collapsing on him. It looked like the enemy was going to win. But then came an army out of nowhere. It was like the angel army that came out and just started sweeping everything on the outside corner. And he became victorious, not up under his own strength, but because of the people who hooked up with him. Most of his power didn't come from his own group. It came from those that were around him. The owner of this place loves us. He has given us favor. He could have very well said, no, you can't put all of that in there. It wasn't. We didn't sign up for all of that. No, no, no. And then they sent me emails talking about, do you want some toys too, Pastor? We'll give them to you. We'll help you out. I'll cut the bill in half here and there. We have favor.
Yes.
And he's a building man himself. Mm-hmm. Lord have mercy. A general contractor. So we're not here by happenstance. The people, just like it was back in scripture, just like those of you in here today, worked hard to get where we are. And they worked hard to get where they were. They came from far and wide to bring the vision to pass. You see, when the children of Israel were scattered through the Babylonian captivity, they went all over the planet. The Jews didn't just stay in one place. No, they were scattered because God said that they would be scattered. Well, I guess if you ain't gonna follow me, you're gonna be like a sheep without a shepherd. You're gonna be scattered. Some of you are scatterbrained this morning. Well, I hear what you're saying, Pastor Mark, but I still got brother so-and-so at the house. You ain't keeping me warm. So, but what about God's way?
Yes.
Do what you want to do, though. So because the walls of the city were burnt down, they were up under a lot of duress. I'm talking about the people. They bled and sweat over this particular place as they were watching it being burned to ashes. But here's some truth that I want to tell you. Number one, we are in a city and community that is broken and burning. They're asking me questions. I had this one particular organization that's asking me over and over again, can you become the president of this community organization? Can you do this? And the NAACP came to me, can you do this? Can you be a part of the leadership? Can you do? And I keep on telling them no, because I know exactly what God told me to do. And sometimes the enemy will give you good fruit.
Yeah. Just
to get you distracted so that you will not do exactly what God has said. Take the blue pill or the red pill. They both of them are sweet. But what did God say? And I can't lose focus at this moment in time. Number two, there are people who have worked hard but not seeing the harvest. Many of you may be weary and may have wondered, well, are we ever going to get a chance to see part of this vision? Well, if you have been with us at any length of time, you have seen us when we were in the storefront. To the time we expanded in the storefront, to the point that we're at right now, where God has given us charge over this particular area. But here's one thing you need to know about your pastor. Soon as we got the approval for this, I was already looking at new spaces. I'm already 5 or 10 steps ahead. So while we're going to be working here, I'm already way over someplace in a certain city at a certain time. and I will reveal it in a time to come. Also, as a minister, we have done much over the last 8 years. So if you're wondering whether or not this is a rallying cry, yes, it is. Yes, you need to hook up. Yes, you need to give. Yes, you need to sow. Yes, you need to go ahead and encourage individuals to go ahead and come aboard before the bullet train takes off. Not like Migos take off. I'm talking about really taking off to the glory of God. So we've done a lot over the last 8 years. But it's now time for an inspection, as there are some walls that have been broken and are in need of restoration, not only in this city, but also in our own house. We did a little bit of that repair over the holidays, and we talked about the lack of giving and the lack of participation. Divine Truth, y'all are loving people, and y'all are truly, truly have the heart of God, and you have so much potential, but you lack commitment in certain areas. You get some time, you get emotional, and then when you get emotional, then you just totally just check out. But God wants you to be strong, fearless, not wavering, having strength and having courage to tell people about Jesus, and also walk it like you talk it. But the first thing that we must do as we go into this new season is to fast and pray. So let me tell you about the prayer that Nehemiah prayed after he got the news that the walls of the city that God told him to rebuild. Guess what he said in his prayer? He says, then I said in verse 5 in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5 and 11 in the New Living, it says, then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. In other words, the first part of the prayer lets us know that you got to know who God is. You have to know who God is. If you do not know who God is, then how can you call on him? How can you trust somebody that you have no idea about? In this season, no, I can't answer your prayers. I can't come to the rescue like Superman. No, no, no. I got to point you to the Father. That's the season. If you don't know it, whether or not people of God, I'm going to point you to God. God has to help you in this season. God has to help you with your mates. And God has to help you with your job. God has to be the one. I could give you some advice, but it's still got to go to God. Because you have to have a personal, intimate relationship with God for yourself. But it should not be so personal that nobody knows exactly that you are a believer. It shouldn't be a secret that you are a believer. You got people watching you. And it's for good reason. Verse 6 says, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. Well, look at that. This lets us know that confession opens God's ears. It's a form of humility. You got to say that you jacked up or you tore up from the floor. That you got problems, you got situations, you got circumstances, you may be depressed, you might have an anger problem, you may have a lust problem, you may have a lack of commitment problem. You're hard-headed. Legs look like baseball bats. You know, all this other different type of stuff. You got issues, and God wants to hear your issues. Let him know that you ain't got it all right. Let him know that you got some problems. His grace is sufficient. Verse 7 says, we have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember that what you told your servant Moses, if you are unfaithful to me, this is what he told Moses, I will scatter you among the nations. So you already seen what God said. I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 9, but if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled, even if you are evicted, even if you are kicked out, even if you got to move from mom and them house to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. So Nehemiah was praying to God his own prophecy. That's what prophecy is. You know what prophecy is, y'all? Prophecy is not just foretelling. It's forthtelling. It's telling people what God has already said. Not by this time tomorrow, you're going to get a fancy new car. Amen. By this time tomorrow, your lights might be turned off. Because you didn't put God first. So this prophecy was one of free will. Look at that. If you obey, then I'll bless you. If you do not obey, then you're going to have some trouble. You get that? If you listen, I'll help you out, even during tough times. And I'll make it a little bit easier. But if you don't listen and you're going through tough times, it's going to be 100 times worse. As old as you is, you don't get that yet? You need to get that. You need to understand. You need to cut it. You need to cut the flesh. And you need to understand that you can't play with God like that. You got to stop playing with God. That's one of the things. One of the things I really respect about people who tell me the reason why they won't come to church. Most of the time they say, I don't want to play with God like that. Because I know that I'm not ready to turn my life over to him. And sometimes God gives a greater calling on that particular person's life than the person who's sitting here every single Sunday or every other Sunday for some of y'all. So this is a prophecy of free will. If you listen, then I will bless you. If you don't listen, then you will be held captive by the world and scattered in your life. You're all over the place. I just got too much going on. Who told you that busyness will be blessed? Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're moving anywhere. There's a lot of churches that are doing the work for the Lord, but they have nothing to show for it. Doing the work of the Lord. Working hard, but nothing to show for. I don't want to live this whole world as I turn 44 this year. Lord, have mercy. Just say I don't have nothing to show for. Nothing to show for. Verse 10 says, the people you rescued by your great power and strong hands are your servants. So that means you need to know your position. Verse 11 says, oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king Artaxerxes or Xerxes favorable to me. Put it in his heart to be kind to me. In those days, I was the king's cupbearer. So Nehemiah prayed to God. He knew his position. He knew exactly what he was supposed to do according to the word of the Lord. But he also needed help. So number one, you need to know your partners and call upon them. Reap what has been sown. You missed it. Nehemiah, at the end of this prayer, asked for King Xerxes, Artaxerxes, according to the scripture. The same one that was in 300, that King Xerxes, same guy. Well, the movie embellished him. He wasn't all standing like that, nah. But that same King Xerxes, he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a believer in God. He was a believer in many gods. And Nehemiah asked God to change the heart of that king so he could have favor. And somehow, some way, King Xerxes made Nehemiah a cupbearer or a governor over the land of Judah. So Nehemiah, watch this, prayed for wisdom and clarity to carry the vision properly. He had to set the tone, but he could not do it all alone. He couldn't do it all alone. So as I conclude, people of God, we have to write the vision and make it plain. You know how many times I had that slide rolling through? Talk about something. We're going to open this up. We're going to open that up. I created it back in 2014. We just kept on looking at it over and over and over again. It didn't seem like it was going to make any progress. But behind the scenes, we are praying, asking God to open up a door, asking God to move. Then God sent the right type of people to in order for us to open up our daycare business. Then God began to put many of you all in the right place. God began to increase many of you all's mindset that you start giving more, giving what you are capable of. Not tipping. You don't need to tip the house of God. Don't tip us. Don't tip me based on what type of message I preach. You already know that the word of God goes forward in this house. You already know that we're good stewards over what God has given us. You already know that we feed the hungry and clothe the naked and visit the widows, the jailhouses, and the prison. You already know that we have a good reputation. Why would you sow more outside of the culture that you have built versus inside of your house? You don't trust us yet? That's your problem. You need to fix that. And many of you have. Many of you have received the call. And God is sending us even more people with the same type of kingdom mindset. So we need to write the vision and make it plain. Now, how do we do that? Well, in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 12 through 18, it says this. And I'm going to repeat it once again. This is the opening scripture. It says, I got up in the middle of the night. I and a few men who were with me. We started with five people in 2010. I hadn't told anyone what God had put in my heart to do for Central Florida. The only car that was with us was the one I was in. In other words, God told us to not tell everybody what we're doing. Because sometimes when you tell everybody what you're doing, the obstacles mount. It may become harder and harder. People start praying against you. P-R-E-Y-I-N-G. Against you. I remember there was one particular individual that spirit was so disturbed when they came into these particular doors, they just gave us all red marks. But then God sent somebody with his heart that helped us along the way. See, sometimes when you meet resistance, it doesn't mean God said no. It just means that there's some strengthening that you have to do. You have to do one more set. You got to push it one more, and then the breakthrough comes. So you can't tell everybody what you're doing. Verse 13, under the cover of night, I went past the valley gate towards the dragon's fountain to the dung gate. He's doing a survey, y'all. That's what these words mean. Looking over the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken through and whose gates had been burned up. I then crossed the fountain gate and headed for the king's pool, but there wasn't enough room for the donkey I was riding to get through. So I went up the valley in the dark, continuing my inspection of the wall. I came back through the valley gate. So let me tell you a couple of these things about these gates, and I'm going to get on out of here. The first thing that should have brought attention to you is that Nehemiah looked over the dung gate. So divine truth, this dung gate represents a place where you have to get all the trash out. You got to remove wasteful people and habits. I like Lil Duval. I'm living my best life. I ain't going back and forth. Yeah, that's a cool song and all that, but we can't just live our best life right now. This is not our best life. The one to come is our best life. But just for all intents and purposes, if I go along with it, you can't waste time with people who ain't going nowhere. If you don't want to listen, we're done. We're done. I'm not going to beg for you to stay. I'm not going to beg for you to stick around. God has already blessed us. We're going to ride with those that want to ride with us. Preach, baby. The next thing is the fountain gate. The fountain gate led to the king's pool. What is the fountain gate in our time? This represents the everlasting spring of Jesus. From out of here shall flow rivers of living water. He is the everlasting spring. That's what it was. It was a fountain in the middle of the city. And it didn't have any type of plumbing back then. But yet it was flowing and it was part of the king's pool. Can you get in where you fit in? God says, yes, you can get into the king's pool. You will stay clean. He'll wash you as white as snow, though your sins may be as scarlet. Then there's the valley gate. The valley gate led to the dragon's fountain. Now, that sounds kind of strange. It sounds kind of, it sounds kind of sinister. But no, it's not sinister. See, this valley gate that led to the dragon's fountain also represents the pool of Gihon. What is the pool of Gihon? Like to hear it? Here you go. It is one of Eden's original rivers that branched off the Nile. It's one of the ones that God spoke of to Adam and Eve in the Fertile Crescent around the Garden of Eden. In other words, why would that be here? Well, he was letting Nehemiah know, don't forget where you come from. You missed it. Don't forget where you come from. In other words, don't forget God's original design and intent for your life. Why are you here? Why did God give you that brain and that intellect and those smarts? Why did God place you with this ministry? At this moment in time, Why did he get you on the rocket ship right before we talk? We're going to have a trip on a great rocket ship. Yeah, we're on a rocket ship right now. And we're getting ready to take off. It's hard to grab on a rocket ship when it's already in the sky. And I already got a couple of people that's already trying to reach, but we already took off, y'all. The flames have already begun to move those away that don't want to be along with us. And it's not a cult mindset. Don't mistake me. I want people to synergize. I want to have partners in the community. I want each and every one of us, one of you inside of this place, to be with us until the very end. But if it doesn't happen to be that way, then so be it. I may not even be here, but it's not my vision in the first place. It's God's. It belongs to him. I just happen to be carrying it at this particular season and time. So you can't forget where you come from. And then finally, in verse 16, the local officials had no idea where Pastor Martin had gone or what I was doing. I hadn't breathed a word to the Jews, priests, nobles, local officials, those in the city of Castleberry. Trust me, y'all, when I tell you that we had to be as nice as possible to the folk, Lord have mercy. Anybody ever gone to the DMV for your license? Ever gone downtown to Orlando, get your social security card, and you just standing there in line, and if you run, flip off at the mouth, the lady be like, take a number, you're going back to the line, we'll be here tomorrow. Yeah, just mysteriously lose your papers and all this other stuff. So we had to smile the whole time. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. You got to do it again. Yes, sir. No, sir. And I was just like this the whole time. Yes, no. Until I finally got, give me my paper. In the spirit. I didn't do that to them, though. No. Then, in verse 17, I gave them my report. Then we put out a blast that we were having our grand opening and ribbon cutting today. Now I want y'all to observe this. If you look to the person to the next to you, you got the message. A lot of other people did too. That's not lost on me. I'm going to remember all the people who rolled up the window on our destiny. Remember me? No. I'd be nice to you, but I'm going to remember the people in here who gave and didn't ask questions, who served even though their own life was hurting, who gave, who supported, who put mulch inside of the center of the playground in the back, who helped keep the van keep on rolling for a couple more miles. I will remember those that gave and sold. So I gave them my report, and he said, face it, we're in a bad way here. Jerusalem, the city is a wreck, its gates are burned up, but come, let's build the wall, divine truth. The wall of Jerusalem, and not live with this disgrace any longer. I do not want to see tons and tons of kids pass by our building without them stopping in. I don't want to see crime take over the place a couple of rows down from us. I don't want to see developers that are seeing Castleberry as a new place that they can start putting their billions of dollars in before we get a piece of the pie first. Before the people of this community who can't afford anything get priced out. We want to make our strike right now. We don't want this to be a disgrace any longer. Even though I didn't know all the people that built that church over there off of Merritt Road, I still know that it was a staple of the community. I remember it was built. It was the church that Leandria Johnson people had. Over 30,000 some odd square feet, and now it's an apartment complex. The new people don't even remember that there was a church there, but all the old ones remember. It was a disgrace for it to fall like that because of mismanagement, misdeeds, lack of vision. But God had mercy on this place, and I'm talking boldly because I know exactly what God has called us to do, to raise up another in its place, and he will add as he sees fit. So I told them in verse 18 how God was supporting me and how the king was backing me up. King represents the government officials. They said, We're with you. Let's get started. The people didn't say anything. You see that? It was the people from the outside that says, we're with you. Let's get started. It was God that said, we're with you. Let's get started. Then they rolled up their sleeves, ready for the good work. Come on, stand to your feet. I'm done. Remember, God is supporting us. We wouldn't be here if he did not support us. Remember that the kings of this particular region are backing us up. The government officials have given us favor. All those invocations, it may not seem like it means much to anybody, but it means a lot to them. It means a lot for the people to hear the name of Jesus before they govern the city's affairs. They also said that they're with you. So DTCC, let's get started. Let's open up this daycare. And this is only going to be the first. I already talked to the lady. She was like, well, this is only going to be the first of a few. So this is not our crowning achievement. I hope you know that. This is not our crowning achievement. This is one stone on the crown. Doesn't the king have many rubies and many precious jewels in his crown? Yes, we want to honor God. And I'm already looking at new spaces already for the next thing. And we've learned so much in this process. So the next time when we launch whatever it's going to be, then we'll have much wisdom to be able to lend to that next situation. And people will be like, how long y'all been here? And I'm going to be like, well, you know where we are. Know who we are, where we're at right now. Come aboard. So let's roll up our sleeves. Like Optimus Prime, let's roll up and roll out. Transformers, roll out for the good work. Come on, let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God. We bless your holy name. We thank you for all of these, your people, that have come to support the vision, come to support the opening of this new learning center, Lord God, this academy, faith-based academy. Lord God, I thank you for all the people that have connected with us. So this vision, a part of the vision, has come to pass. I thank you, Lord God, for these, your people. I thank you for their gifts, their seeds. And I also thank you, Lord God, for those that know that they need to do more. That they will do so. And they won't wait for somebody else to do it. We thank you, Lord God, for a spirit of us versus a spirit of you. We honor you, Lord God, and we bless your holy name. May this day be a blessed one. May this day be one for the record books, one to remember. We speak a special blessing over Truth Learning Academy. May it have great success. Great success. Great success. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. This isn't my daycare. This is our daycare. This isn't my vision. This is our vision. I don't want to see another inbox that says what y'all got going on up there. No, it's what do we have going on up there? What do we have going on? Amen. Amen. So you smell that? Mm-hmm. I smell it too. Oh, you got something to say you're going to preach?
No.
Hey, glory. Hold on. She put her hands on me. I'm going down. I'm going. Oh, yes. Miss Candace, come on up here. You're the director. I wanted you to introduce yourself. She's such a sweetheart. And she has Pastor Martin's spirit, too. She has that OCD type thing going on. I want to call it optimized compulsive disorder. In other words, everything has to be in its optimal place. Everything has to be in order. And I feel relaxed when I come in. I'm like, oh, look at all the pencils just aligned straight with the pens going forward. And the yes. But she is our director for our school. She is what I would call a charter member of the Truth Learning Academy. She will be serving this particular community. She is credentialed. She is a smart woman. I am so glad that that we got her. Lord have mercy. Yes. And she said you got us. But I am so glad we have. So go ahead and put your hands together. And she's going to just say a couple of few words.
Hi. Amen. We're doing it. It's open. It's a pleasure. They didn't get me. I got them. It was in my life where the door came open, and it was a fit. It was beautiful. Beautiful. I just want to thank everybody for letting me be a part of this wonderful community. We're going to do it. We're rolling up our sleeves, and we're going to do it. Anything you need, I'm here. I'm serving y'all. I'm serving the kids. A background about myself. I've been in this business for 19 years. Awesome. 19 years. I've built up. I'm still learning. Still learning a whole new direction, and I love it. I wouldn't do anything else. I plan to stay as long as they'll have me. Amen. So let's give a special prayer. I'd love to give a special prayer. Let's fill this center up. Bless it. Bless it, and keep the faith. Amen. Amen.
All right, Candace, preaching up in here. All right, now. All right. And we also have other employees that will be coming today. Is Maya coming? Not sure. Okay. All right. But anyway, Mrs. Braco is well-credentialed. She's well-qualified for the particular position. So if you do put your children here, they're not going to be taught by me and Lady Martin in the middle of the office. Talk about something. This little baby has shortening. No. It ain't going to be us. I have already kicked myself off of the premises. I'm only going to show up here every now and then to do church work. In other words, this is going to be none of my business. Only time I'm going to pop in is if something really, really, really big happens. And other than that, I'm going to stay out of the way. Because that's what a leader does. He casts a vision. He puts people in place that know how to carry the vision. And he gets his butt out of the way. That's what I want to do. And Lady Martin, this is something that's been how long, babe? It's 14 years. That we have waited for this day to come. Yes. Amen. Yes. Fellas, let me give you a little bit of game. Can I give you a little bit of game, fellas? Fellas. Do whatever you can to help your wife's dreams come true. Hey. Do whatever you can to help your dreams, help her dreams come true. Trust me when I tell you. You work on that. You'll be all right. All right. All hearts and minds clear. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. All right. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
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 Wait a minute. I'm waiting on one person to say something. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jaden. All right. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
We're opening TLA today. Be blessed, people of God. We have refreshments out in the lobby, so go ahead and get you some of the refreshments, and also the snack shack is open. You can smell the aroma that's out there. All right, Lady Martin has a couple of things to say.
Yes, just really quick, just refresh yourselves with snack shack, and we'll be doing the ribbon cutting in about 10 minutes. Please stay, don't leave. Thank you.
Take lots of pictures, and hashtag go live. I want everybody who has a phone to go live.